If you are just joining us, we are getting ready to have a lovely chat with an extremely talented artist. Sahar Glade here on Jazz Hall Radio, coming to you from the historic Alabama Jazz Hall of Fame in Birmingham, Alabama. And it is indeed my pleasure to welcome to our airwaves Ms. Althea Renee. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
I am wonderful. Let me just briefly let folk know who you are, Althea Renee, just in case they don't know. But if you are a serious, serious jazz appreciator, then you know the name Althea Renee. She's a solo improvisational flutist, and we're going to find out all about her. But just to kind of bring you up to snuff, her fifth CD, In the Flow, released in 2013, was a collaborative effort with Grammy winning producer Michael Browning, who produced for George Benson, Paul McCartney, above others, and she herself co-wrote the title track, which became her biggest hit, reaching number one on both the Billboard and the Smooth Jazz chart. She made history. She became the first flute player in the history of Billboard to reach the number one spot. Althea Renee, that must have been a most exciting time for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was surreal, you know. And I've never been one who's been big on, you know, that being validated by awards or things like that. I think when you do things, you need to be proud of the work you've done. And, you know, but with that being said, I was ecstatic.
Absolutely. Because I get what you're saying. You know, you're a musician, a creative person. You just want to keep it moving. But when you make these milestones, we got to take note. Because, you know, number one, you know, I've got to put it in quotation marks. You're a woman. And you're in the field of, you are a soul jazz performer. I think that's one of the handles that you prefer, but it's not your only handle, right?
Well, no. I mean, it's something that I tend, because early on when smooth jazz originated, they basically said it was for guitars and saxes. And if you remember that, and so that pretty much excluded everything that wasn't. And so I thought about it and I said, you know what? Rather than me trying to fit into smooth jazz, which I'm not, you know, my background is I'm from Detroit originally, and there's a whole lot of soul and, as you know, Motown and you know, that Detroit swag. So that's why I changed. I probably am the first person to pen that. Because at the time, everybody was saying smooth jazz artist.
Exactly. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
I think it's brilliant. And rewinding, well, you know, let's go back to, you know, you began playing at a very tender age of four, but I mean, yes. Which is incredible. But we have to do a huge insert right here, because this has so much weight, and people who don't understand it will never get it. You are the daughter of Desi McCullers Sr., who was a studio musician at Motown, one of the Motown original funk brothers. And oh my God, there was a documentary, Standing in the Shadows, and perhaps some of the listeners got a chance to check that out. But if they didn't, the funk brothers were the funk in Motown. The beats and everything that made Motown was on the shoulders of the funk brothers, and Althea Renee's
exactly.
father was one of those gentlemen. So you can't help but have some soul in your jazz.
Absolutely. And I always think that, you know, the guys in the rhythm section were the ones that were featured, and my dad was supposed to be part of the documentary, but it was at that point that he found out that he had pancreatic cancer. And so he wasn't able to participate or do any of the tours. But all the guys were, I didn't know them as the Funk Brothers. I knew them just as family, because they continued to perform together over the years for their whole lives.
Right.
And those are the ones that stayed in Detroit, because once Motown moved to L.A., mm-hmm. Some musicians, you know, followed and went to L.A., but the majority of the Funk Brothers stayed in Detroit.
Exactly. I mean, they were working musicians. And,
yeah.
You know, you did go on to study classical music at Howard University in Washington, D.C., but prior to that, growing up in a household with a member of the Funk Brothers, that is, only those out there who understand music get that, because the Funk Brothers, they were the heartbeat of Motown. You know, those beats, the music that they laid down, was it. And bar none, nobody could touch them.
Went to the studio every day, or several times, you know, and they would just cut stuff. That was part of their job. They didn't know who the music was for or what was going to be done with it. So a lot of the material, they didn't know that this would later be for this artist, you know, because they were just writing a lot of music and they would have them come in and cut it. So, you know, that's a big part of it. But I didn't realize it until today where, you know, and my dad would get royalty checks. Mm-hmm. And my mom still gets royalty checks. She just got a big check from where they were doing a movie or showing used Motown music over in Canada and for a movie. And she got, you know, so it's great that the way it was set up, where one of the few opportunities that the artists from Motown can actually continue to get residual monies from what they did.
We are talking with flutist Althea Renee. We have so much to cover. She's got a new CD entitled Flossum, and she's just an incredible musician. She writes a lot of her music. She's classically trained at a historic HBCU, Howard University. Doesn't come any finer than Howard University in Washington, D.C. And she is the daughter of a Funk Brother. I mean, I cannot even imagine growing up in that household. Tell me how those sounds and being in that environment impacted you at such a young age.
Well, you know, I didn't really know at the time, because, you know, when you're living it, and I was the youngest in the family, so I was basically a baby, you know, by the time I was old enough to know, he was no longer doing it. Mm. You know, and they were just gigging. So
yes.
I didn't really know my dad playing with Motown. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So there was the aftermath. Like I said, the guys, they were just Joe Hunter, and they would come over and rehearse and everything. And
but you had to have heard that. You had to have those rehearsals flowed through your mind and your psyche and your, you know, ability to connect to music. So even though you may not have known,
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, there was always music in the house. Saturday mornings, my dad would get up and he would be playing the organ, and he would have, we would be playing different instruments. And I picked up the flute and he would play, and I would, you know, we would all just be listening to music. And so it was just, and then he ran a jam session that went on for like 20 years or more. And so every Sunday afternoon, my brothers, you know, and they would go out to the jam session. And when I got old enough, I was still playing classically. I wasn't playing jazz, but once I went to college, and about 18 or 19, I decided I wanted to play jazz, and I started going to the jam sessions and everything. And yeah, it was just, there was just music throughout my entire life, whether it was youth orchestra, whether it was marching band, whether it was, you know, whatever.
Well, being the Funk Brothers, that's like sitting at the foot of Beethoven, Mozart. I mean, those guys are legendary. And then from, you know, growing up in a household where you have that type of influence, and I understand that you were inspired by the great legendary Yusuf Lateef, one of the preeminent jazz flautists in existence. And was that just by hearing his music, or did you have an opportunity to actually meet him?
Yeah, no, I never got to meet him. My dad would just play. You know, that was one of the Saturday morning things where he would play Yusuf Lateef and Freddie Hubbard and Hubert Laws. And when I heard Hubert Laws, that was it for me. I was in love with his music. And I got everything he ever came out with, all his transcriptions. And I love James Moody. Moody's Blues.
Yes.
And it was just a Dave Valentine. And then I heard Ian Anderson, like, on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I may have seen him in concert, like, on television. And I thought, wow, this guy is playing rock and with the flute. And what he's doing, you know. So between Ian Anderson and Yusuf Lateef, I started saying, wow, I wonder what it would be like as a young woman with a higher voice to play and sing in the flute. And
wow.
So I started practicing probably when I was about 12. I would practice in the basement, where we had basements in Detroit.
Mm-hmm. On the East Coast, yeah.
And I would stand in the mirror and I would practice singing in the flute and dancing with the music. And that's kind of how I got my start. But my real start, I was already singing in the flute, but I auditioned for the Apollo.
Oh, my goodness.
And, yeah. And it was Kiki that told me, she says, girl, you stiff. You got to move.
What wonderful advice. Oh, my goodness. She
and
was
it was
right.
After that I added the dancing in with the singing and the flute. And everybody seemed to like it. And so then as the years went on, I felt like that I had that, and that can be viewed as gimmicky, you know, somewhat.
Or entertaining, so, because we're talking with Althea Renee, a flautist. When you, in live time, when you catch you on stage in person, that just adds a different element to it. I mean, you're young, you're beautiful, you've mm-hmm. mastered the instrument, and then you're moving around and dancing. So, you know, this is the 21st century, so it's perfectly acceptable. And now in 2017, you collaborated with yet another award-winning producer, Lou Lang, and you created Gypsy Soul. Now, that was the first single release from the CD Unstoppable. That was your seventh release. And it
right.
ranked at number 5 on the Billboard music chart. So, I mean, you've just been smoking.
Well, thank you. It's just a lot of hard work, but it's my calling, and I do it for all of the musicians, my dad, that can't. And, you know, because along the way, we all start out with these dreams, and, you know, and as you get older and you're in the business, and, you know, it changes in terms of what the reality is. And you watch your friends who either can't play anymore or die.
Mm.
And it's just so important that I continue to do what I do until I can no longer do it.
Exactly.
So, and I can't do it at any level but the highest level.
That's wonderful. Now, you've got some other significant placements, Althea Renee, that being the hit single My Summer Love, Sunday Cruise, and Free, which were also ranked on Billboard Music Chart Top 20, which is like you just bam, 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 bam. And then in 2018, you wrote a book, Becoming Chocolate Barbie, A Guide for Professional Women in the Music Business. Now that's a coup right there.
Yes, definitely the title, Becoming Chocolate Barbie, you know, comes from, you know, just the whole idea of trying to fit into what society says, you know. And that's that, first of all, especially when I came along, the women don't play instruments, women sing. Mm. You know, or women teach, you become a teacher, but you don't, you know, you don't go out here and try to compete with the guys and play, you know.
Exactly.
There are a lot of artists today that still believe that women, I believe I read in an article that Wynton Marsalis said that women can never be on the level as men, of men, instrument, you know.
I'm sorry, who, Wynton Marsalis said that?
Oh, he said that very early in his career. He, yeah, they did an interview on him, with him on Downbeat.
Uh-huh. And he said women can't match, they can't match men musically in the genre of jazz or in music.
Correct.
And, well, does he not know Shirley Horn? I mean.
it was very insulting. And he's not the only one. Every time I read it, every time I hear it, it goes all through me. And you know, my thing is that it's okay for vocalists to be different. Vocalists seems that you can be different. You can be a jazz vocalist and be great. You can be an R&B vocalist and be deemed great. But who is in charge to say that if you're not playing straight ahead standard music, that you're not good or you're not great?
Exactly.
And so this is one of the things that, this is one of the molds that I continue to break through and try to break through, because it's not just your playing. People have to, people don't want to be bored. People want to be entertained. So, you know, whatever you're doing, you know, if it's like going to an opera, you expect this if you go to an opera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you go to a blues club, you expect to be a little looser, and, you know, that's what you're looking for. So I think there's room for everyone to be great in what and who they are and what they do. And not, nobody is in the position to criticize someone else's greatness and be in judgment of whether they're great or not.
Well, that's why out there, Renee, you just have to just keep doing what you do and, you know, put your blinders up and not pay any attention to naysayers. And that brings us to your latest releases. I think this is what, your eighth CD, is that
mm-hmm.
correct? Your eighth CD?
Correct.
And
yes.
you have this is the title. This is the kicker. You have titled this Flossom, which I think is awesome, because it is like, oh my goodness gracious, you are Flossom to come up with that title. I love it. And the CD is dedicated to your mother. And
yes.
Tell me, how did you come up with that title, Flossom? That has got to be the phrase for women going forward right now. I think once people get a hold of this CD, and we're going to delve into it because it is hot. It's sizzling, y'all.
Thank you.
Is sizzling. We're talking with Althea Renee, and this is Jazz Hall Radio, coming to you from the Alabama Jazz Hall of Fame. I'm Sahara Glade, and Althea Renee has her latest CD, her eighth release, and it is entitled Flossom. She's a flautist, and she's classically trained, the daughter of a funk brother, and if you know what that means, then you know what that means. And so how did you come up with that title, Flossom?
Well, Tyra Banks, I can't take credit for coming up with it, the word itself. But when I heard the word, and it's a Tyra Banks, she penned the word.
Ah.
And it actually, and from her perspective, it means that because of your flaws, or even though you have flaws, you're still awesome.
Mm.
But my perspective on that is that it's because of your flaws, not that you're flawed and you're still awesome, but it's because of your flaws is what makes you awesome.
Mm.
Because for me growing up, I was dark, which, and am dark, I'm a chocolate woman, and that wasn't popular at the time, so that was seen as a flaw coming up. You know, I didn't play traditional jazz So all these things that I thought were flaws is actually what makes me who I am.
Mm-hmm. Now, don't, we need to have a whole nother anthropological discussion about beautiful chocolate women, because, and I happen to be fair skinned, but I have a humongous appreciation for chocolate skin. I mean, it's just exquisite. You know, I think, you know, I see you, I've met you in person, you know, when I produced a concert here, a festival. I was one of the associate producers, and you and I met. So I know in person how beautiful you are. And there's the chocolate skin is so poetic, and it's so, chocolate women look like works of art to me. That's, you know, what my, that's what
my natural eye tells me. Yeah. I think that all we are beautiful in all shapes.
Absolutely.
And you know, and it's just it's an uphill battle for us as black women to get together and realize that that we are all the same. We are all beautiful in all of our shades, and that we are one of the only races that has as many shades. You know.
Represented,
and now, it's not represented, and it's not our fault. This is the way it happened. And
well,
we
you know,
need to embrace each other.
You're too young to remember. Richard Pryor used to have a special, a weekly special, and on one of these specials, he lined up black women from every possible color, from the lightest to the to the most chocolate. And this was on television, and it was magnificent.
Wow.
It was magnificent. Now, I've been playing Flossom. Let me just tell you. I played it for a week. I cruised around Atlanta, Georgia. I cruised around the Ham. It is magnificent. I mean, it is superb riding music. I love it. The Inner Circle, the CD
you.
Kicks off with The Inner Circle, and you wrote that. You wrote that along with Demetrius Neighbors. And
yes.
I mean, you guys are jamming. I mean, you on the flute, the piano, the keyboards, the guitarist. Oh my goodness gracious. I mean, whoa. I mean, it just kicks off
you.
The Inner Circle. And then you do the classic rock with you, you know, which is like, you know, foot tapping music. And Passion is kind of like a kind of Spanish-y kind of a, you know, from Spain type of, I don't know what the traditional Spanish music is called, but it has that kind of flavor. And then you've got Barbara May, which is named after your mother. And I mean, you just, you can go from cut to cut all, you know, to jump to it, Flossom. I mean, We Are One, that's a classic standard. Life on Mars, Let Me Love You. Hit after hit, cut after cut. And that is rare to put on a CD and absolutely like every single cut. Tell me how you came to that. Many of the tunes you've written, how did you come by the selection?
Well, this was really, I was thinking when I did this that it was possibly going to be my last CD. I thought that, you know, although I would continue to do collaborations, I'm just where the music business is and, you know, how expensive it is to, you know, record. I just wasn't sure whether I was up to, not because I'm ill or anything, but just I just felt like I don't know that I'm up to doing this. It's a lot to put together a CD. And so I just wanted it to be really special. So I came up with a couple of things. You know, my Detroit band has been my band that live, that is my favorite band to ever work with. Live in Detroit, it was the same band. So I wanted to go back to my roots, and I wanted to go back and kind of do it old school, the way my dad and the way they recorded, where they would all go in the studio at the same time.
Yes.
So that's what I did for four of the tracks, Inner Circle, Barbara May, Life on Mars. So we went in the studio all at the same time, and the band cut on one day. And then I did just like a scratch flute. And then the next day, I went in the studio and then, you know, play my performance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so it was still live, though.
Yes. It is. You can tell that you guys are jamming. You know what I'm saying? You can feel it.
Yeah.
And it is deserved of being in any jazz lover's collection. It is Althea Renee, and she spells her name R-E-N-E, one E with the accent. And the CD is Flossom. And I highly recommend that you run out and get it. Of course, we're playing it here on Jazz Hall Radio, coming to you from the Alabama Jazz Hall of Fame. We are jazzhall.com, 91.1 FM. And you're going to be hearing this throughout our run, and our various hosts are going to be presenting Althea Renee's latest contribution, because it's very, very, very good. I'm so pleased with it. You know, sometimes you get artists' CD and you have to kind of force feed yourself to check it out and then stick with it. But I plopped it in and I was like, oh, wow, you know, this is nice. And I couldn't get it out. I'm telling you, it's been in my vehicle CD for over a week. And every time I turn it on,
wonderful. Yeah,
I'm jamming with it up and down the highway and up and down the byways. And so where are you going next in terms of your live performance? Where can we see you?
Well, before I get to that, I just want to say that there's a lot of star power on this CD.
Okay.
And that's the first for me. I've never had celebrity guests on my project. So this was kind of fun. I've got Gerald Albright playing saxophone and bass.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Huge Groove is guesting with me on Barbara May. I've got Mesa guesting on Let Me Love You.
Isn't she awesome? She's awesome, isn't she?
And last but not least, Dwight Adams, who is the trumpeter for Stevie Wonder, playing on Life on Mars. So, yeah.
That's why it's and you got you, and then to top all of that off, there is Althea Renee, and that is why it sounds so good. You know, it's like, whoa, because you can just tell you guys are jamming. You know, you guys are really jamming. It is a beautiful work of musical art, and I know that listeners. Oh, you're welcome. The listeners are going to appreciate it greatly. Jazz is alive. You know, jazz is alive. There has been new breath breathed into jazz from your generation, you know, just coming in and taking over and just carrying the mantle and, you know, making it even better than it was from its inception. And that is A-okay with me. I am loving every minute. This has been such a delight. I hope to get to see you again in person. Are you coming? I know you were just in Birmingham, Alabama.
I was just in Birmingham, and we had two sold-out shows, which was awesome.
Wonderful. That's great.
I have to say that I'm really looking forward to doing more intimate club dates. A lot of the times, the festivals, you don't get to really perform but a couple songs. And so I really am looking forward, and I'm setting up dates all over to promote Flossom and to be able to just really dig in with 8 CDs. It's a lot of music. It's way too much music to just play 2 songs.
Absolutely. I concur. And we have been chatting with Althea Renee about so much, and the focus is on her latest CD, her 8th, Flossom. And I know we're going to see this on the Billboard chart and the Smooth Jazz chart. It's just a matter of hours. It's going to be on there. I know it is. It is just that spectacular.
Well, you know what? It debuted today at number 16 on Billboard.
See? All right now.
Yeah.
I knew that, you know, because this is a sizzling CD. It is Flossom, F-L-A-W-S-O-M-E, Althea Renee with one E. Delightful talking with you. I look forward to the next time.
Thank you.